Gen Z. It's a term we've heard of a lot, but we might need a little bit of an introduction. So Generation Z, also known as the iGen or Centennials, is a demographic cohort following the Millennials. Born between 1997 and 2012, they are the first generation to have grown up completely in the age of technology and the internet. But recently, there's been buzz about the Lost Generation in reference to Gen Z. But what exactly is that? So the Lost Generation was initially used to describe the cohort that lived throughout World War I and the Great Depression. They were called Lost due to the fact that they were born during a bad time economically, and people considered them alienated from the idea of a society during post-war America. Now, Gen Z is being called the same due to the impact of social media and the perception that we are simply less smart than our predecessing generations. Welcome to today's episode made possible by the Kitchener Public Library's Youth Activity Council. My name is Khadija. And I am a member of the Youth Activity Council and also a huge tech lover and entrepreneur, and I am the part of the technology generation itself, Gen Z. I'm here with my friend Ala, an activist, youth leader, business owner, and fellow tech lover, and today we're going to talk about the potential of the so-called Lost Generation.
Hey there, Khadija. It's really good to be here. Thank you for the excellent intro. So, the Lost Generation. What are you thinking for today?
Gen Z is complicated considering that we've grown up in a time where there's almost no parallels to past generations. I mean, technology in general, like we've got social media, we've got TikTok, we've got Instagram. And here's the thing about technology. Technology has been used to describe things known as tools. So for example, like technology in the past, the word techno has Latin origin and it basically means tool. So in the past, I think it could have been technologies. For example, we could have like a wrench and it could be technology. Technology was essentially just used to like describe tool. Nowadays, technology is used to describe things such as computers, anything that's a computer basically. And how we define computer is something that can like take an input, that can process that input, that can store that input for maybe a select amount of time, and something that can bring an output. So things like calculators, and even things like game consoles, even like some pianos, musical instruments, it's basically everything is technology at this point.
I know, it is a completely different world than we've ever been used to. Even now I'm seeing, like when I was a kid, in my house we had just immigrated into Canada, and so we only had one computer within the house, and my dad would leave for work and my mom would leave for work outside the house, but that one computer was so important to us. Now we have several devices for each and every one of our family members, and I'm even seeing like my little cousin is coming to stay at our house and she has a tablet, which is really crazy to me. Like, she's constantly on that tablet.
I know, and the next generation's like, I've had kids.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that really human beings have reached an incredible amount of development. And, you know, we really have to think, is it too much? And, well, some people think that it rots our brains, really. So, we did mention social media. What kind of takes do you have?
Okay, so when it comes to social media, we have to differentiate between, I feel like, regular social media such as Facebook and Instagram, and specifically TikTok. So what's the difference between Instagram and TikTok? TikTok is a high-paced reel of videos, essentially, that basically the algorithm is designed to want you to watch as many videos as possible. That's why when you're on TikTok, you sort of think that, like, you know, you're just gonna watch, like, one video or two videos, but then by the end, because of the algorithm, you've probably watched maybe videos that are only 5 or 10 seconds, but you've watched them in such a high quantity, you've probably watched 20 or 30 of them, that you've probably spent 10 to 20 minutes on the platform itself. Now, on TikTok specifically, I've seen a growing number of these parody videos where people ask people who are from Gen Z or from, like, this generation simple questions such as, name three countries that start with the letter C, or what's 1 + 1? How many letters are there in the alphabet, etc., etc. And it seems that through these videos, like, we're being exposed to the fact that our generation is perceived to be of a lower intelligence, especially when you see people like them.
Yeah, of course. And then the other problem with social media is that it is designed to keep you on the app for as long as possible, because that's how a consumer is made, that's how a user is made. So the same as how Instagram is incorporating Reels and TikTok has its fast-paced videos, it really is like shortening attention spans. It really becomes a case of maybe we are getting stupider. I don't believe so, but it really does make us hone in on that kind of idea that people really are starting to focus on how we are spreading messages, how we're spreading misinformation, and how we're consuming that information.
Okay, so when it comes to Gen Z, first let's look at ourselves. How do we define Gen Z, considering that we are part of this generation? We were born basically in the midst of Gen Z. We were both born in 2006, So yeah, we're in the mid of Gen Z. We've got no connection to millennials whatsoever, and we aren't on the cusp like many Gen Alphas.
Yeah, I think Gen Z is literally just a period of years to me. I can understand that my brother and sister are both Gen Z, whereas my younger cousins are Generation Alpha. And it's more that I find like Generation Z has grown up with technology. Not to say that millennials haven't or Generation Alpha hasn't, but Generation Alpha was already sort of launched into the stuff that we find the best already.
Exactly.
And so we've kind of seen the turnaround from like my very crappy computer back when I was a kid to my considerably really good computer right now. And we're seeing that turnaround, how technology, every year there's a new iPad that's better than the last. And every year there's a technological advancement. Every year there's a better video game than there was last year. And you know what? Graphics are continuously improving. It's hard to catch up to sometimes.
It's an exponential increase after all. That's how technology works. As technology becomes better, it's actually interesting how technology works as a business, because when you look at the consumer market, as technology gets better, the price of technology generally decreases, unless you look at like specific niches of companies like Apple.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it is like consumerism, but it's also that we are growing at an incredibly fast pace. And I don't think that we're taking the proper time. Like, and I believe a lot of people don't believe it either, but I don't believe that we're taking the proper time to really sit back and look at how fast we're going.
That's something I've heard a lot of people say. So people tell me that I'm just going to go to university. Like, people are basically undermining Gen Z when it comes to economics, because you've probably heard people say that, like, what's up with this generation? We all, like, got university degrees, and we bought a house within, like, our first year of, like, getting a salary. And look at you, Gen Z's, like, you're already 25, you're still living with your parents, and you don't have a university degree. You have to look at the economic situation. Things are very expensive.
Yeah.
And especially university, you know?
Yeah.
University is hard. Like, it's hard to access university. And we have to consider the fact that nowadays, unless, like, you're in a high earning, like, there's way too much competition, and unless you're in, like, a high-earning industry, and even people in high-earning industries, most of their money goes out of taxes, and most of their money, like, they can't afford a house at this point, because houses are just so expensive.
Yes, exactly. Like, inflation has become pretty crazy in terms of how fast it's moving. Our economy is, like, just going into shambles again and again and again, because, again, that consumerism, that want to have things, and the accessibility to have whatever you want nowadays, it's, again, not a bad thing to be able to order what you need. But it is, like, a problem of we're now having more consumers, we're having more people who are able to buy things, and our economy is trying to boost and boost and boost to get the most money out of it as we can. But we're not stopping to think about the conditions of the people behind it. It's becoming, like, in terms of, like, university, it's, like, if we want to go abroad to a proper school, or if we want to go to a school that has a good reputation, because there is, like, a huge buzz about going to a good school instead of going, like, you know, a lot of people want to go to a university instead of a college. And there's a whole buzz about, like, not going into the trades. There's still such a low demographic of women in the trades and women in these different kinds of sectors because it's not encouraged, and we're not seeing as many people like encouraged to do these kinds of things, and we're not giving people that boost that they need. We're not encouraging any of that.
Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about the economic situation of Gen Z and why is Gen Z so different economically from past generations? Why is it so hard for Gen Z to get things like houses, to maintain careers, and most of all to save up money?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that. So first off, I want to explain something that I think a lot of people from older generations need to understand. The economic climate nowadays is very different from when, let's just take the time of the boomers. When you, in the 1960s and 1970s, even the 1980s, one could argue, you could take a university degree in almost anything. And you could, within a few years, buy a house, get life savings, go on a few vacations, start a family. Back then, money had a lot more value, I would say. And even if you didn't have like what some would consider nowadays a really good salary, you could still uphold a very high, one would say, quality of life. Nowadays, it's much harder to do that. So let's discuss a little bit about the economic situation of Gen Z nowadays.
I'm looking at like how much value has the dollar lost since 1913 in the US, and it says the value of the US dollars has lost more than 96% of its purchasing power.
96%?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So we're looking just at like just how much inflation and our economy is changing from the last like 100 years, the last century. And it's really been rapid. It's incredibly fast paced, and it's becoming so hard to save up money. And like, if we're thinking about, you know what, traveling to another country and doing your university, because nowadays it's so, there's so much like of a name attached to which university you go to, which career path you take. There's so much of a name attached to it. So if you want to go to a good university, let's say you want to go abroad, maybe to the UK or something. If you want to go to these kinds of schools, it can cost up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Who has that kind of money in this economy to just throw around?
Exactly.
And if we want to take something like OSAP out or a loan, it can take years to pay that kind of stuff back. And like, if you're not in a career where you make a lot of money, it becomes even harder. So people aren't encouraged to go after their passions. We're in this new stage where we should be leaving the world better for each and every coming generation, but we find that we're not able to encourage the future generations because we're not leaving it better than we're than we're getting it.
I read an article once, actually, I think it was an article by Vox, where Gen Z is actually the first generation that's been actually poorer than the generations before it.
Whoa.
And there's actually a few reasons for that. So I want you to consider the fact that right now, like, we call them boomers, but this is like the baby boomer generation. We're going to refer to them as boomers. So essentially, there's an interesting parallel between Gen Z and boomers. So you know how people say, if you ask someone, would you rather be in a cohort with less people, who are around your age and more people across a variety of different ages? Or would you rather be in a cohort with people who are more of your age? Most people would say that people who are of a variety of ages, because people say that there's less competition. The thing is, boomers and people who are of older generations need to realize that nowadays, considering the baby boom, you have such so much power when it comes to your voting prowess, and how much you can basically, how much power you have within your vote. So basically, when baby boomers were younger, and they were within their prime and having, they were within their careers, they had so much voting power that they voted for things that benefited them. For example, like tax subsidies. For example, like less interest on homes. And let's look at some stuff like free healthcare, free education, and better rates for universities. Now, especially in Canada, I would say about 60% of our population right now is of that generation. Like us, younger generations are very much a minority. Now, considering that, and I'm not trying to like offend anyone here, but it's just normal. People are going to vote for reforms, and they're going to vote for laws that benefit them, right?
Mm-hmm, of course.
So now people who are a baby boomer generation are voting for things that benefit them in the long term, but things that will let's look at like investments, for example. They're voting for things such as increase of interest rates, because it's going to like make sure that their assets stay valuable. And they're going to vote for things such as maybe like more money towards nursing homes, more money towards retirement and stuff like that. Now, you have to consider the fact that because of that, and again, like, this isn't everyone, and I'm not saying that like you're choosing to vote for these things is necessarily a bad thing. But you have to realize that because of that, the amount of money that is being directed to human resources and the amount of money that we have as a result is very much decreased. Now, let's look at the price of homes. A normal four-family home, maybe 5-10 years ago, was maybe worth $200,000. When I actually moved here to Kitchener with my family when I was in like grade 5, our home cost around $500,000, and it's a decently sized family home. It's not really big, it's not really small. Now it's worth $1.2 million within the span of like 6 years. That's basically double. It's more than double.
Yeah.
And that's because there's so many new laws on tax rates and interest rates, and let's just, like, you know, throw the pandemic in there as a special wrench, you know?
Yeah, the same thing for my house, pretty much. About, I think we got it for about $490,000, and it's the same thing, $1.1 million, $1.2 million value. And the problem is that the world is becoming very hard to pay for.
Exactly.
It's like, yes, it's good to develop, but the rate of development shouldn't be faster than the rate of human development.
Exactly, because right now, like, a lot of subsidies and all of laws basically benefit like large corporations. You don't consider the fact that you want like people at the human level need to afford these things too. So yeah, like it's very nuanced. It's a very hard economy to live in, especially in an economy like Canada. Within many industries, there aren't many competitors, and because of that, like, it's so hard to get into so many industries. And basically, the synopsis of this is that, like, we're at a bit of a disadvantage to begin with because of a dwindling economy. We have social media, and it's a good tool. But again, there are many downfalls to it. I would argue that there are more benefits than downfalls. But abstinence isn't the answer to social media. There isn't really much education on social media. Especially for our generation, since it was so new. Like, Generation Alpha is a little bit better in that sense, because, like, we've already been kind of messed up by social media. So, like, for example, I have a younger sister who's already, she's, like, 9 years old, the most adorable kid known to mankind. She is a precious angel. Anyways, I already know, and I've already talked to my mom a little bit about, like, her use of technology. We very much limit her use of technology, because we know that, like, for me, like, I didn't get a phone until last year, and I don't use any social media, and my mom was pretty strict with my screen time, too. But my mom has more experience because of me as a Gen Z, because even I know that now, like, there are certain things that she shouldn't watch, there's certain websites she shouldn't go to, and there's certain things that she just shouldn't watch because they are a brain rot. Like, you've probably seen Cocomelon. Cocomelon is, oh my god, I don't know how kids watch that.
My little cousin, the one-year-old, she literally screams happily whenever I put on Cocomelon for her. No. She goes, woo!
Like, seriously, I honestly think that Cocomelon is, like, a glorified form of social media, because it's so fast, there's so many fast-paced changes, and honestly, like, I'm concerned for the next generation, too.
It's not inherently the fault of the generation themselves. It never really is. It's just that we need to watch our rate of development, really. And I truly believe, you know what, social media and technology is an incredible tool for really building ourselves up. And you know what, now we're finding that it's become a way for future employers to figure us out, or, you know, future universities, or, you know, careers, for them to really check us out and see what we are. And it is a little bit, like, dystopian to have, like, such a huge mark onto the internet where anyone can search you up and find out who you are and find out your interests. It is a little bit crazy.
It's a little bit creepy as well, one would argue.
And I don't think that, you know what, we are a bad generation, or that any generation is a bad generation. But I also find that when it comes to it, we don't have a lot of the practicality, like voting, that you brought that up. The problem with it is that it really is that when, although they don't see exactly who voted, they do see which demographics voted when the vote comes out. And so if they see that more elderly people are coming out, they'll listen to more of the issues of the elderly population. And the problem with that is that youth really don't come out to vote. And I have a radio show on the importance of youth and minority vote, and I had an awareness campaign on that too. But when I was going knocking door to door, I found that a lot of people, when coming up with the idea of going to vote, they would say, you know what, it's just one vote, my vote doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And I found that when I was coming to those doors, it would either be young people or minorities who were saying that. The elderly population is more outgoing when it comes to voting, because they truly believe that, you know what, it'll make a change. And the problem with that is that when a whole demographic starts to come out and say, oh, it's just one vote, it doesn't matter, it starts to really matter. Each vote matters. And we need to see that, you know, it is good to make a statement and stand behind it, but we also want to make sure that you know the problem and know how to go out and solve that problem as well. And I find that a lot of the social media buzz is all about virality and buzzwords and just getting yourself out there without any substance.
Exactly.
Whereas the real stuff is really, like, putting your name out there and then putting your substance behind it. And I feel like a lot of people call us stupid, even though our predecessors never taught us, you know what, when you put yourself out there, you need to put substance behind it too. Mm-hmm. It can't just be an idea, because everyone has ideas. Everyone is creative. Everyone's mind is beautiful. But when it comes to actually backing it up, it's really difficult when you haven't been taught how to do it before.
Exactly. Like, as Gen Z, like, a big thing I can think about is that we aren't taught how to, like, behave, like, publicly. Like, a lot of us suffer from social anxiety, and that's mostly because, I would say also, social media is, it's a very great tool, but it's also the source of a lot of problems. A lot of us suffer with issues such as depression, body issues, you know? Like, we suffer from a lot of things mentally. And that might be, like, one would say that's more of a result of the fact that these issues are more open, and that might actually be a very good thing, considering that now society is more open on, like, things like depression, anxiety.
Yes, but it is good.
But yeah, but, like, some people also say that it's also as a result that there are a lot of issues like these. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but Gen Z as a whole, I would say, actually, I would argue that it's actually, we're kind of on a downfall right now, in all honesty, when you're looking at our generation. We aren't in the best condition. Okay. And let's be honest, so anyone watching this podcast, Gen Z or not, I'm sorry if I offended anyone, but yeah, currently, modern generations aren't going the best way, but there's something that I seriously need anyone, regardless of what generation they are, specifically Gen Z, to, like, realize. Right now, we're going to talk about how much power we simply have as Gen Z, mm-hmm. because you have to realize, the internet isn't just the internet. We've got, like, basically the world, a world's worth of information within our hands, and now that, you and I are, like, 16 years old, and we've already started going into, like, the world, and we've started to mature, and we've started to realize that right now we have so much power, and we're just going to tell you some things that you could probably do to just change the future. Gen Z right now is definitely going on a bit of a downward turn, let's be very honest, in terms of the economy, in terms of mental health issues, and even in terms of our stability and sanctity as a collective. But seriously, like, any Gen Zers watching this, listen up, because you could definitely make a change.
Yeah. I think a big part of it is that people really play it up that, you know, technology is not a good thing, but it really is.
It's amazing.
And although we need to make sure that we're not developing too much, or we're not producing more than the world can take, we do have more of a capability than any other generation to really put the issues that we think matter and that we know matter into the forefront and address them better than any other generation, because we can really access that information. We can access avenues that we were never able to access in the past. We can find resources that we were never able to find in the past, and we can use those to our benefit to spread our message and to spread the love that we can have for this world.
Exactly. And something I want everyone to realize is that nowadays it's really frustrating, considering that everyone, let's look at the political landscape of Canada. Let's take the political landscape of Canada as an example. Right now we have the Conservatives and the Liberals, and frankly, none of them are doing pretty great things. Like, personally, I am very, considering how much I know about politics, I am very frustrated with the political landscape of Canada. If you looked at, like, maybe a debate in the House of Commons, they are children. Like, have you ever watched, like, any of the debates? Like, seriously, like, it's kind of mind-boggling to me sometimes how sometimes the people with power right now are kind of really immature. But we have to realize that at some point, you have to realize this, because it's something that I've heard a lot of people say. People right now, our generation, has this very self-demeaning nature. It's as a result of social media, but it's also because, as a generation, our predecessors really tend to blame us for everything. I've heard the brunt of it, especially. People don't consider us very educated. They don't consider us the future, basically. We have to realize that past generations have made a lot of mistakes, too. Let's consider a few things. For example, we've got the climate crisis, and right now no one's doing anything about it. Mm-hmm. We are aware of the fact that, like, in the future we're going to have to deal with this, because past generations are just waiting it out, and they're saying, oh, by the time it becomes really bad, we're just going to die, and our children will have our assets, so they'll do fine. And right now we're left with the brunt of the responsibility. We have to step up to the occasion. You have to realize that in the future, Gen Z is going to be the entrepreneurs. We're going to be the politicians in the future. We're going to have to fill those spots. Mm-hmm. And right now, we have to realize that we have to take that initiative. We have to, like, put ourselves in that world. Yes, I'm going to give you an example. Like, you I would consider, like, very politically inclined. Like, you seriously want to become a politician, right?
Yes, I do. And that's because of the fact that now we really are able to see the problems that the world has, and we've got access to avenues that we've never had before. And we really have moved forward in terms of moving away from racist ideologies within our systems, even though, of course, it's still present and we still have to work towards a better world. but that's something that we can do together. In the new world, we can do it together as a community, and we can create a more large community. It doesn't have to just be our neighborhoods and our, you know, cities. Now it's becoming a global scale. Like, if we see the work of young entrepreneurs or young activists like Greta Thunberg or Malala Yousafzai, they used their own, for Malala Yousafzai, she created an amazing book, and she still, like, goes out and advocates for education. And Greta Thunberg has been very vocal when it comes to the climate crisis. And it really does become that youth become the face of every crisis. They become the face because they have that energy and they have that willingness to fight. And we need to use that energy to really push ourselves forward. And I know we can do it.
And again, from another standpoint, when it comes to technology, one thing I can definitely think about is the fact that, yes, we've been the guinea pigs of the past generations. If you were to ask me whether I'm glad that I have social media or not, I would be very, very neutral, considering the fact that it's literally the only world we've grown up with as Gen Z. But as Gen Zs, we have a responsibility to educate the future generations about, like, the effect of technology, considering that we've been the guinea pigs. Like, I'm gonna differentiate that. By that, I mean that we've got experience with social media and its implications. But I think something you also have to realize is that now our world socially has changed a lot. For example, we've got, like, centers like Discord. We've got we've got Instagram. And yet, I would say that, like, if I were living in a pre-internet world, I would be less connected than I am now. I feel I feel like the world has changed a lot, considering that.
Yes, it's given me avenues to really advocate that I've never seen before. And I know that, you know what, as a kid, I started to learn how to code because I wanted to learn how to get information across on a global scale. And I'm seeing that now it's exactly what I was thinking back then. Information is being spread on the global scale, which is incredible. And I don't know if we told that to any other generation, like predecessing boomers, of course, if we told them that now information is at our fingertips, now we can make change and we can come together and do it together. I don't know if they would believe it. But nowadays, it's become something that we really can do together. We can make protests and we can come together and make a change.
There's so many things you can learn right now on the internet. So basically what I'm trying to say is expand your interests and try to gain skills that will benefit you in the future. And you have to realize that Gen Zers, anyone who's watching, you are the future. You're going to be future politicians. You're going to be future entrepreneurs. You're going to be the future of this world. And you know all the problems we have social injustice. We have this climate crisis, like, last month. It was above zero. We live in Canada. We live in freaking Canada, and it's like it's January, and it's plus +5. Like, I've been talking to a few of my two people around me. I'm not saying they're ignorant, but I am saying they're ignorant because they're just like, this is normal. How is this normal? It's supposed to be minus -20 right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so concerning. So yeah, like, generally speaking, because of the stigma around Gen Z, I would argue that right now, definitely, you don't have much of a voice. But realize that in the future, we are going to be at the forefront of solving all the world's issues. So we have to step up to that occasion. This thing that we have the internet, we have social media. Consider it a tool and use it to make yourself powerful.
You guys have got this. Remember, you are the change. We can work together, really. The most important thing is that we have become a global community. We can work together in ways that no one has ever thought possible before. We really can step onto this global stage and come together to solve the injustices of the world.
After all, I think something I've realized through all this exposure to information is that no problem never has a solution. Yeah, there problems, if a problem's big enough, then yeah, there could be solutions that take a while to enact. There may not ever be solutions, especially when it comes to, like, climate change, that maybe work 100%. But there's always a solution to any problem, and I think we have to realize that. So remember.
Remember, you are the change. Thank you guys so much for listening today.
Yeah, this is Khadija and
Oliver.
And thank you so much for watching. And thank you, KPL, Youth Activity Council, for giving us this opportunity. Bye-bye.
Bye.